Hi, welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. So, in this episode, I talk about stress and sex because, of course, your stress level is going to affect your desire, your ability to be playful and open and interested. So, we have to separate some of this stuff out, figure out what you can manage and prioritize. And I give you an exercise in this to help with that effort. So, tune in. Looking forward to hearing your feedback. Hi, welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. Today we are going to talk about stressors and how they impact your sex life, because they certainly do. And we're going to sort of map this out from the start. I'm going to give you an exercise to sort of apply this to your own life, and then we're going to start to unpack. This is an exercise that I have done with some of the Pleasure Project participants, and it works really well because I think some of this feels conceptual, but we want to make it practical. Like, how does this actually like play out in your own life? So get a piece of paper, and I want you to draw a circle, and then I want you to draw a bigger circle around that first circle that has some space in it. Now, the very center circle is your sexuality. So, I want you to, this is kind of a reframe from what you probably normally think of it as, but I want you to start to think of the why. Like, why do I want a sex life? Why do I enjoy a sex life? Like, what does it serve for me? So, jot some ideas down. Like, and this would be a great podcast probably to listen to with your partner, because ideally you would both do this and then you would compare notes and get some ideas and understand it together. So within that center circle of sexuality, think about the why that might be a whole random, list of things for you, but why do you like sex? Like, is it an expression of just fun and creativity? Is it playfulness? Is it connection? There's no right answer, and it might be multiple answers, and it might be different answers on different days. But why do you want sex? Why do you want a sex life? Why do you think or know or feel inclined toward this? And there's probably going to be different goals that are maybe relational versus just personal. Your own psyche and how you relate to your body and that type of thing. So take a minute and jot some ideas down about that. And you can hit pause if it's helpful. So the next circle outside of sexuality is going to be your resources. And resources, again, are going to totally be personal to you. But like, what in your life helps you feel recharged and centered and like on your best? I would imagine that might include some forms of exercise, hopefully. That would probably also include maybe some forms of mindfulness. So, are you doing some sort of meditation, even if it's a walking meditation, or are you reading, or like, what are the activities that sort of bring you into self? That might be kickboxing for you. That certainly might be therapy for you. It might be seeing your friends. Like, when do you feel, what are all the things and all the ways that you bring yourself back to you, that you feel your all-time best? Like, definitely for me, I'm an extrovert, so I love spending time with friends. Exercise specifically, going for a hike or doing some yoga is always really good for me on this side of things. Like, resourcing, and the more that you can actually write down, the better. Because those are going to just be something that you're going to go to. Those are protective factors. That's why we have them around the sexuality. But those are going to be a piece that is very critical to sort of guard and protect your sexuality. So write down as many of those as you can think of. So next, on the outside of that second circle are your stressors. Now, stressors come in lots of shapes and sizes. They do. There's the constant stressors, which That could be a difficult boss. That could be maybe some chronic pain if you've got kind of a hurt part of your body. That might be parenting. That might be lots of things. But what are the stressors that exist for you? Now, the constant ones are going to be important, but also that some of these are within your control and not within your control. So, within your control might be the route that you drive to work and how much time you leave yourself, right? That's stressful. What's not in your control is maybe your mother-in-law calling and making demands. So, if these things consistently show up in your life, great to just name them. Even if they're just occasional, but they're a known thing that happens with some regularity, put them down. The other piece of this is just the general stressors that might be popping up for you now that are sort of acute, let's call them. And this might be a big project that's coming up. It might be, you and your partner ha kind of having a tug of war over a particular issue. It's just what are the stressors that are active in your life at this moment? So jot those down on the outside. Because I do actually think having a visual is really helpful. And the reality is that the more of these stressors that are occurring for you, the less likely you're going to want sex. So the more stressors that are activated, the more resources you need to employ. So if you have a whole bunch of the stressors popping at any one point, then it's a heads up that you need to double your resources to help, because it's a counterbalance. If work is super stressful, maybe you're short on time, and so resources feel like, oh, how do I find time for that? But the reality is that there are different kinds of resources, and that might be drink more water, that might be do some stretching on your lunch hour, or take a short walk, that might be call your best friend, right? What do you have time and what do you have access to? Because the stressors are going to come, and you need to have some way to interface with them that feels affirming. Because the reality is that sexuality is going to be kind of one of those things that gets sidelined. If it's not a priority, and if you don't have to have it, you're not going to, because you've got to deal with the stressors first. So part of this is important, because if you can get a sense of what's happening, then you see a larger context of maybe why you're hesitant. But the other piece is that you really do need to have a why, because if you don't have a why to your sexuality, then you're less likely to find the how. And so we need to protect that. We also need to decide that we care about it, right? Sexuality is one of those things that isn't essential. I mean, some men might disagree with that statement, but it's actually not, right? It's a preferred thing, and it's not food, it's not clothing, it's not shelter, it's not safety in like this basic way that are, in the hierarchy of needs. So sexuality is something we choose to engage in, we choose to move toward and prioritize. So in this process, like, you have to make your own why, because otherwise you're not going to prioritize it. And yes, I will say that when things are more stressful, we are disinclined towards sexual play. And I'm using this as an umbrella term, right? It's just like partner play or individual. I find that for the most part, some people actually do respond to stress with a spike in sexuality, like they actually want it because it's a stress reliever. But for most of us, and especially most women, they're like, no thanks. Right? When things get stressful, that is actually not the door they take. They pull back from it. So having some awareness of what is going on and how amplified your stressors are is helpful, because oftentimes we just accumulate more and more things, and we don't recognize that there is a compounding factor here, and that they are sort of taking our extra RAM in our brain, and that's what we're thinking about instead of cultivating a playful desirous headspace. So manage your stress, and then you will have more access to your sexuality. Because typically, your sexuality is like, is it safe right now? Like in a global way, is it safe? Safe being like, do I have enough space to move into this mindset, right? If you know you only have 30 minutes of downtime, you might not prioritize sex. Rather, you might prioritize a nap or a snack, or, you know, return 3 emails or something. But like, if you know that this is actually going to have a benefit for you, and you're going to feel better and more connected to self or to other, then it might be more of a priority. So finding your why is going to be really important, and this can change over time, but it helps. And then also just acknowledging that some of the stressors aren't going to go away because you can't control them. They are just what they are. And so they might be around for a while because of circumstances or, you know, just the nature of your life. And so having some conversation with yourself that, okay, this is what it is, and I'm gonna work within what I've got. So having that allowance is important. But then also, like, if you think about, like, you know, in your decision to turn towards your sexuality, this is a space that tends to be like curious is a word that kind of comes to mind, that sort of feels very present during sexuality. Playful, open, flexible, vulnerable. It's hard to be any of those things when you're stressed out. Because going back to that original word I used a minute ago of safety, like your psyche doesn't feel safe. Your psyche feels guarded and annoyed that you're asking it to do something else when it's got this other thing it's got to do. So safety in terms of, and I'm not talking like bodily safety, I'm actually just more talking about psychological safety, is going to be really important. The other piece is like, and this comes up in my other podcast on self-talk, is like, what is going on in your own mind that might be causing some stress? And that might be body image, chatter, which is super common, especially for women, is that we're guarding our bodies because on some level we are rejecting ourselves. We're rejecting our bodies. And so it's really hard to shift into that sexuality space because you're too busy criticizing yourself. And so even if there aren't obvious stressors happening on the outside, there is a big old stressor happening on the inside of your mind. And can you give yourself permission to have pleasure and to have connection and to have a delicious sex life regardless of what your body looks like? That is going to be so key, because that internal monitor that can be so loud and so mean can really derail this whole process. And men have it too. Men definitely have it. They might be thinking more about, you know, the shape of their body or the size of their organ, or the, you know, if they're having ED issues, all that stuff can come up too, in terms of feeling like, okay, you know, is this going to work right? And am I going to be embarrassed, right? Is there a shame component internally that is kicking up every time you think about sex? Because it's really hard to overcome that if that is getting loud. It's hard to feel confident enough to want sex and to allow it to happen, because it is an allowance, right? For the most part, like, we have some urges and we have some responses to stimuli, but it's an allowance of opening ourselves up and connecting with another, or even with ourselves. So that's why it's going to be really important to, you know, to have the mind be in a place of allowance and self-compassion and self-love. Another piece that is a stressor is interpersonal relationships. So how are you and your partner? You know, how is your, I find that sex is a microcosm of the bigger picture. So I get curious about how is the couple functioning in the day to day? You know, is there resentment? Is there mutual appreciation? Is there misunderstanding or miscommunication happening? A lot of times couples come in and they say they want help with communication. And I feel like that is such an umbrella, and it is oftentimes code for verbal and nonverbal. It's not just how you say it, or what you say, it's how you say it. It's all of it. And so how is the health of your relationship at this point? Do you feel frustrated? Do you feel connected and known? Because tending to that relationship, that core connection is going to be pretty important. It's hard to shift into a sexuality space together if you're holding stuff from the day to day, and that might be just logistics, that might be parenting stuff, that might be stuff that is a turn off for you that you've never told your partner. So having willingness to communicate about the interpersonal stuff is going to be really important too, because that affects, you know, some of us actually can know ourselves so well that we can turn ourselves on, and then the partner gets to just have that experience with us. But many of us are actually relating to what is in front of us, who is in front of us, how the interaction's going. And so the arousal is contingent on how the other person is approaching or how the other person has been treating us all week long. And so I would say that is probably more common. And so paying attention to what is happening in the relationship, that's also why a lot of women say if they have a meaningful conversation with their partner before sex, they are much more interested in sex, right? Because they feel connected, known, like they've cleared the air a bit. It's not like they're compartmentalizing and just going into this space. Rather, they're integrating. And that tends to be a little bit confusing sometimes for men, but understanding that they too feel better when they're in that connected space. It's kind of interesting actually, because oftentimes I have these male female couples who the man wants sex to bring them back together, and the woman wants connection to bring them back together to get to sex. And so, I mean, I'm open to either, you know, either door being the entrance to the same circle that's going round and round. But often both partners kind of want the other one to come on board first. So in the interpersonal realm, I find it really helpful to have the couple just do some connecting conversation first. And that might look like a walk, take a walk, you know, around the neighborhood. It might be turn off your devices and sit with dinner and catch up and show some genuine interest, not just about logistics. This is about who are you, how are you feeling? I find that that is a really good avenue, because the stress lowers when we feel less alone. So nothing actually might have changed about your actual stressor, but when you feel like someone cares and you at least get to articulate it, that typically lowers the stress. That's the beauty of talk therapy, right? It's just that's empathy, is having someone hold the space for you to say what's hard. And so, or just in general, feel known, right? It isn't just about like unpacking all the hard stuff, but having that dynamic can be incredibly helpful and connecting for a coupleship. And so give it a try. Like if you had to sort of do an assessment of how's the relationship looking, without the sex life, right? Just look at the general interpersonal dynamics of what's going on. How connected are you? And notice that there's probably a correlative. Now that's not to say like there can be, I definitely have seen couples who are really good on communication and very connected, and I would say they have intimacy without sexuality. So they tend to be in longer term relationships, and for different reasons, they're just not sexually active and they're not that interested. And I say if they don't care, then I don't care either. But there is that possibility where you can just become such close friends and so connected, but just not really interested in sex. That's kind of a different problem, but also present for many people. So I guess I would look at if you have stressors, then how are you talking about them? How are you interacting around them? How are you, how hopeful are you that they might wane in the near future? Because if you are in a high stress situation and you don't have hope that it's going to resolve, then you're likely to be in a more guarded stance. You're likely to decline sexuality for the time being. And so having some willingness to address it and interact around it and acknowledge it is going to be helpful. Now, in terms of interacting with yourself around this, in addition to just sort of acknowledging some of the conversation that you're having around maybe the criticism, also just acknowledging, like, I love journaling as an outlet. I find that really helpful. Or again, talking to friends, but like having some acknowledgement of what is happening for you. And when you think about sexuality, when we go back to what originally was in that center circle of priority, what gets in the way of you tapping into that? You know, is it, now if you just have no desire, that's a different thing. But if you have desire, if you have some interest, if you have some good memories of when things were good sexually for you, that will give you reason to want more. That would give you a frame or a point of reference from, you know, historical interactions that are likely to have you more in that space of like, yeah, that was good. I want more of that. How do I recreate that? And so you're more likely to cultivate it. But you have to remember, or you have to imagine, hopefully you can remember because it's happened for you at some point. What was good about this? What did I like about this? And also, not just the beginning, right? Because the beginning of most relationships tend to be hot and heavy, and sexuality is the priority. It does actually sometimes take precedence over food and work and friends and everything else. But that's not typically how long-term relationships work. Long-term relationships, you settle into more of a rhythm that allows your whole life to stay in more balance. And so sexuality takes a different role. So you can't expect it to be that fervent, like, kind of thing that was in the beginning, but there is this place for it in the overall picture that feels important and valuable because it is something that you get to have with this person or with yourself that is separate and different and special. And hopefully, again, your why of good, of why is this good for me? Why does this help me? So I'm going to encourage you to just kind of look at your stress, think about how does it interplay maybe with certain times of the year. There's usually predictable stress in our lives, maybe holidays or times of the year when your work life is particularly busy. And how does that affect you? Be aware of sort of how your own mind handles the pressures. Do you get more short or grumpy or tired or irritable or you know, like shut down, kind of like what happens for you and how might you address it? And again, that could be through the support of a friend or it could be through the support of a therapist. It could also be through doing a group. I would love for you to participate in the Pleasure Project. It is 6 weeks, and I have designed a curriculum that is specifically about helping women tap into their sexuality and to their sex life, and to address a lot of these obstacles that come up, all the various kinds of stressors, but also just like embarrassment and, you know, even anatomy. Like, we go over all of it and look at what gets in the way of really enjoying a great sex life. So if you have some interest in this, I would love to talk to you about that. And I would love for you to participate. And you can check that out over at pleasureproject.us. There's more information about the 6 weeks and what we cover each week. It's a small group, so it's really pretty intimate. And I know a lot of women feel hesitation talking about this stuff, but if you're listening to me and hearing that this stuff relates, then that's what the group is going to feel like, because other women are going to be like, yeah, I have that as well, and this is my thing I don't want to say. And you're going to hear that and go, oh, okay, I'm normal. And that is incredibly empowering. It's so helpful. I find the group format is amazing. Like, I definitely see couples all the time and we talk about this stuff and individuals, but the group is such a magical way to address this stuff. So if you're curious about it, I would love for you to give me a call and we can talk about it. So that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening in. And if you have ideas or questions related to this or other topics, I would love to hear from you. So you can message me at jen@pleasureproject.us. Thanks so much.